Well, praise God. This is the Word of Faith Netcast, and this is Dr. Bill Bailey. I'm glad you could join us once again for our special Netcast. Why is it special? Because it's actually on time. Amen. We did one last weekend. We're doing another one this weekend. Praise the Lord. That's the first time in a very long time that's happened. Amen. Oh, my. If you've been watching the Netcast for any length of time, you know that it has been a challenge to do the Netcast in a, let's say, a timely way. Praise the Lord. And part of the reason for that has been challenges with regard to our equipment. And I think we're finally getting that kind of whipped into shape. We've got the microphone now off camera, even though it's the high-quality broadcast mic, and we also have our studio in a little better shape. And not only that, but we've gotten in some new software that allows us to edit the Netcast in a much more efficient way, much easier to work with. And as you noticed, our intro is very different than it was. I thought the intro was a little too long, just took a little too much time. I liked it, but it just took a little too much time. So we're going for a more abbreviated intro, and that will allow us to do the Netcast much more often. And I think really when it comes right down to it, the content is more important than anything else. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, last week I reminded you that our SpeakFaith.tv project is an ongoing project. I'm not going to talk a lot about it this week other than to say that if you feel led to contribute to that, you still can do that, of course. We'd encourage that. I'm just believing that we'll get that taken care of in terms of the finances for that, and we'll just get it done because I want to get that 24-hour Word of Faith, totally Christian, praise God, turned on to the Word TV network going. And we have a lot of the tools already in place to do it. We just need to get that software license paid for. So we're believing for that. So you just set your faith. You agree with us along those lines. And praise God, we're going to get it done. Amen. All right, well, let's get into the Word of God. I've got my electronic Bible here right in front of me, which is my computer using eSword, which I know you're familiar with. And on the radio broadcast this week, I'm talking about the Word of Faith. What is the Word of Faith? And I want to talk about that, too, on the Netcast, but from a little different perspective than we're talking about on the broadcast. So let's look at Romans chapter 10. Now, if you've been listening to the radio broadcast, the Word of Faith broadcast, which comes on Monday through Friday, on WFR.org, Word of Faith Radio, which is internet radio station, I'd encourage you to tune into that 11:30 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Now, 11:30 Eastern Time, you know you need to adjust that in different time zones. So wherever you are in the world, you can adjust that and hear us on Word of Faith Radio. We're also on early in the mornings. I think it's like 2:30 in the morning Eastern Time. So wherever you are in the world, you can get it, praise God. You can also always go to our website, WFM.org, and right there on the website, you can click on the radio broadcast and hear archived radio broadcast, or in this case, the message is, what is the Word of Faith Part 1, and now what is the Word of Faith Part 2, which I just finished yesterday, well, actually this morning as I videotaped this, are out on the website and are available for you to hear the message in its entirety by streaming audio, or you can download it. So, boy, there's just all kinds of ways that you can hear this message, and I encourage you to do that. So let's go to Romans chapter 10, and I want to look specifically in Romans chapter 10. Now, we're reading from the New King James Version. I do want to mention that. And so let's look at verse 3, talking about the Jews here. For they, the Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness, remember we said that's right standing with God, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted unto the righteousness of God. Then he goes on to say, in verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes, not who does works, not who tries to get there on their own, But to those who believe, all you got to do is believe. Amen? All right, verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness or the right standing before God that is of the law. The man that does those things shall live by them. But here's what I want you to see in verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. I'm going to read the whole verse, and I want to come back to that. The righteousness which of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is into hell, that is to bring up Christ from the dead. But what does it say? What does it say? Keep that in mind. What does it say? It, which we're going to define here in a second, says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, what it is he talking about? Verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks. So the righteousness of faith, the right standing of God that comes by faith, the right standing of God that comes by submitting unto the right standing available through God, speaks. And what does it say? It, the righteousness of faith, says that the word is near you in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So here's what I want you to see. The righteousness, the right standing of God, which speaks, notice it speaks, is speaking the word of faith. The right standing of God speaks the word of faith. The right standing of God preaches the word of faith. Now that's why I want you to see this. Because the word of faith is what we preach. Now obviously this is Word of Faith Ministries. And we're talking about being on Word of Faith Radio. Brother Hagin's newsletter is called The Word of Faith. It obviously points to the fact that the word of faith is important. And not only that, Paul said it was the word of faith that he and those that were with him, which would be Barnabas and all those that were with him, they preached the word of faith. So the message of the word of faith is what we are to preach. Now, what does the word of faith that we preach say? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 9. That, this is what it says, that if you confess with your mouth, I'm going to come back to that point, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Remember we said that's the Greek word sozo, saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially. That's every aspect of your existence, every aspect of your life, covers everything. But now notice, you speak with your mouth. You say, well, Dr. Bill, that's great revelation that I speak with my mouth. Yeah, but you see, that's the part I want you to see. The word of faith speaks, and it says with its mouth the word of faith that we preach. Now, why do I drive that home so much? Because you've got to speak with your mouth. There are a lot of Christians today. They understand to a certain extent the word of faith. They believe to a certain extent the word of faith. But they're not speaking with their mouth. And unless you speak with your mouth, you are not operating in the word of faith. Remember, the righteousness which is of faith speaks. The righteousness which is of faith says something. And what does it say? It says the word's near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth Jesus is your Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, in order to operate in faith, you got to speak with your mouth. You have to be speaking. Now, I have lived a life for over 30 years of the word of faith. I have taught the word of faith. I have preached the word of faith. I have lived the word of faith. And you know what I still have to work on after all these years? You know what really is still the kicker that I have to personally work on? I got to use my mouth. I got to speak. It's not enough to mentally assent to it. It's not enough to think about it. It's not enough to even occasionally talk about it. No, I got to be speaking the word of faith all the time. All the time. Not just part of the time. Not just Sunday mornings. Not just Sunday night. Not just Wednesday night in church. Amen. Now it's good to go Sunday morning. Good to go Sunday night. Good to go Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. Good to go to special meetings. Good to go to conventions and camp meetings. Brother Copeland's meetings. Amen. Creflo Dollar's meetings. All kinds of good meetings. But it's not enough to speak during those meetings. You gotta be speaking the word all the time. I'm telling you, you can't operate in faith unless you're speaking the word. Now, okay, Dr. Bill, I'm supposed to speak the word. What am I supposed to say? You're supposed to say what the word says about you. Did you get that? You gotta say what the word says about you. Well, what does the word say about you? It says you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21 talks about, verse 21 particularly, that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Made, M-A-D-E, made, means you have been made to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, it's all in Christ Jesus. It's all in Him. It's not because of anything you've done or anything about you as an individual, but rather the fact that you are in Him. That's what makes the difference. All right? That's well and good. What about that? Well, we need to be saying what the Word says. Now, let me tell you some of the things the Word says. The Word says you're healed. You say, Dr. Bill, I don't know about that. Well, let's just go look at the Scripture. I'm going to go flip over to Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1. One of my favorite psalms, praise God. It says in Psalm 103, verse 1, a psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now notice, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So what he's doing is he's telling his soul, soul, bless the Lord. Then he goes on to say, and all that is within me. Well, what is the all that is within me? Well, you are a spirit. You have a mind. You live in a physical body. Amen? You are a spirit. You have a mind, will, and emotions. You live in a physical body. And all that is within me is to do what? Bless His holy name. So he's commanding himself to praise the Lord, to bless the Lord. Now let's keep reading. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget. What do you forget? If you're going to forget, what are you going to forget with? With your mind, right? So he's telling his mind, will, and emotions, my will and emotions, you need to bless the Lord. And oh, by the way, don't forget all his benefits. He's given us benefits. Well, what kind of benefits? He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. Now let's just wind that back a minute. He forgives all our iniquities. All of our sins forgiven. Woo, amen. Now, you know, growing up Southern Baptist, I was told that. He forgives all my sin. Hallelujah. Well, that's true. Absolutely 100% true. But see, that's not all the benefits. If you only took part of that, just part of the benefits, just took that part out, you're going to miss out on other benefits. So what are other benefits? Well, the next one says who heals all your diseases. How many's all? All's all. How many is all sin? Amen. Does that leave out stealing? It's all but stealing. No. All is all, right? It included stealing. What about who heals all your diseases? All is all. Well, it heals all but cancer. No, cancer's part of the all. So see, he heals all disease. He forgives all sin. See, the benefits are much bigger, much broader than we have thought they were, that we thought they were all along. As regular, you know, denominational believers. Now, if you've been living in the Word of Faith teaching for a long, long, long time, this isn't news to you. But see, you got to remind yourself. See, he says you'll forget the benefit if you don't remind yourself. So that's why we need to remind ourselves. So let's keep reading. He redeems our life from destruction. Well, now, what is a life fraught with destruction? Well, we know that Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, that is Satan, comes not but for two. Don't you love the King James? Comes not but for two. What does that mean? He comes for only one reason. Let's just put it that way. Take it out of the King James a bit here. Satan only comes to your life to do one thing. And that is, well, one type of thing. But he specifically mentioned three things that Jesus mentioned that Satan would come to do in your life. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, I like what my pastor, Ed Taylor, says. He says you can get you out a piece of paper, and at the top of the piece of paper put killing, stealing, and destroying. And then write down everything in your life that fits under killing, stealing, and destroying. And then put everything, have another column over here that says blessing and life, abundant life. And put everything that has to do with abundant life in that column. And that's all from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all from God. This column's from the devil. This column's from God. No mystery about it anymore. Now you know where it's coming from. Don't blame God for things that he didn't do. He's not in the killing business. He's not in the stealing business. And he's not in the destroying business. Now, I know that comes as a shock to insurance underwriters, because in insurance policies it says hurricanes, tornadoes, and all these disasters and other acts of God. Well, it's not the big G God, capital G-O-D God. It's the little G-O-D God, God of this world system, the devil, that's doing the killing, stealing, and destroying. Jesus said that. Dr. Bill didn't say that. Jesus said that. Amen? You go look at John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But what did Jesus say? He said, I am come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. Now, the abundant life he's talking about there, think about this. The abundant life he's talking about there is the Greek word zoe, which is the zoe life of God. Woo! Life in the absolute sense, like God has life. Oh, my. That's life that is abundant for sure. Amen. All right, so God redeems your life from destruction. That's one of the benefits. So if it's killing and stealing and destroying, and if that's coming from the devil, which it is, Jesus said it was. Now, don't stand there and argue with me and say, I don't believe it that way. Our church doesn't teach it that way. Well, you just forget what your church teaches and forget what other people have said. Jesus knows what he's talking about. You go read it in John 10:10. Jesus said that if it's stealing, if it's killing, if it's destroying, that's destruction in your life. It comes from the thief, which is the devil. Amen. So don't try to argue with it. Accept what the Bible says. See, let me just take a little side topic here. You're going to have to accept what the Bible says. Amen. You're going to have to accept as literally true what the Bible teaches. You may say, well, that old book doesn't have anything to do with me. Folks, the Bible is the Word of God. There's a big, big fuss going on about some preacher, some slightly knuckleheaded preacher down in Florida that wanted to burn a Koran. Well, it's like I wrote to somebody this week on Facebook. I said, you know, burning that Koran would be like burning a phone book. The Koran is just a book like the phone book. It's paper, it'll burn. Whoopee-doo. There's nothing holy about it. I'll tell you further than that. You could burn a Bible and it's just paper. Ooh, some people getting mad at me right now. No, hold on. I'm not saying you should go burn a Bible. I'm not saying I'm condoning y'all to go burn a Bible, but it's just paper. What is the Word of God, what is holy, is what's written in the book. Now, what's written in the Quran is a bunch of lies and doctrines of devils. Amen. I said it. You can attribute it directly to me. Because it's not the Word of God. The Word of God is the Bible. Amen. Now, your particular copy of the Bible, it could get burned. You can just go buy another one. I tell you, I'm reading one here that's electronic. You can't burn it because it's electronic. I can download it anytime I want. You might can destroy the computer it's on, but I'll just download another one because it's free. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Rick Meyer there at eSword.com, e-sword, or not .com, I'm sorry, let me back up. e-sword.net, amen, get the address right. That is an absolutely freely downloadable Bible. And the words that are in that electronic Bible are holy. It's the Holy Bible. But there's nothing holy about the electrons that contain that information. There's nothing holy about the paper that the Bible's printed on. So the whole idea of burning the book being a big deal is not a big deal. Okay? So forget all that mess. Yeah, boy, I really digressed on this one. But my point is simply, you knew there was a point in here somewhere. My point is simply that the Word of God is true. It is inerrant. It is accurate in every sense. You say, but Dr. Bill, there's so many contradictions in the Bible. There are no contradictions in the Bible when read in the original language with the understanding that you should have from the original language and by leadership of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, that's a lot of caveats. Not really. Because you can mistranslate something and you can take something out of context and it'll mean something entirely different than what the Bible teaches. Let me give you a good example. You've heard this example before, I'm sure. You know, that it is written in the Bible that Judas went and hung himself. It is also written in the Bible, what you have heard, go and do quickly. Now, you can put those two thoughts together and say it comes directly from the Bible and says, Judas went and hung himself, and you ought to go do it quickly. And think that you've got scriptural mandate to go kill yourself. That's not scriptural, it's not biblical, and it's not what the Bible is saying. Do you know the Bible reports a lot of things accurately that is not the Word of God? The Bible accurately reports that Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But did you know the Lord doesn't give and take away? He just gives. He's a giver. He's not a taker awayer. Not good English, but you get the point. We just read John 10:10 that says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God's not the thief. If God were the thief, God would be Satan. And Satan would love you to make that mistake. But he is not God. Big G God. He may be little G-O-D God, but he's not big G God. You know what I mean? No. Satan's the thief. God is the giver. Now you say, but Dr. Bill, Job said, yeah, Job did say it. It is absolutely accurate to say that Job said it, but God didn't say it. As a matter of fact, in the book of Job, if you look at the very last part of the book of Job, God comes to Job and says, Job, you have spoken wrongly of me. Well, one of the many things that he spoke wrongly was the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. The Lord doesn't take away. There's a bunch of old unbelieving songs out there. Not even old, they're new unbelieving songs on Christian radio right now. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. That's not scriptural. So the Bible is accurate. But you have to rightly divide the word of truth by the Holy Ghost, who is the teacher of the church. Whew. Amen. Are you getting any of this? The Bible is the inerrant Word of God. You've got to accept the fact that God's Word is accurate. And once you do that, then you take God's Word for what is true rather than what you subjectively think is true. In other words, we have a higher authority than what we think. Doesn't matter what I think. Matters what God said. All right, let's keep reading Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Praise God for that. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Notice it doesn't say he beats you over the head with bad things. No, he satisfies your mouth with good things. He is not the taker-awayer. He's the giver. And he gives you good things. The gospel is good news. It's not bad news. Amen. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Now, this is what I want you to see. These are promises of the Word of God. You need to be confessing these things. You need to be confessing, Lord, I don't forget your benefits. Lord, I thank you that you forgive me of all my iniquities. Lord, I thank you that you heal me from all my diseases. Lord, I thank you that my life is redeemed from destruction every day. I thank you that you crown me with loving kindness and tender mercy. Oh, Lord, I thank you that you satisfy my mouth with good things. You ought to be saying these things. That's how we find. That's how we got here, see. How'd we get here? Hey, we got here because you need to be speaking the word. And this is just one example of many, many, many examples I could give. You need to be speaking the word of God. Amen? Oh, my. Well, I tell you what, we're just about out of time for the Word of Faith netcast for this week. But I want you to write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. Now, that's Dr. Bill Bailey, Word of Faith Ministries. The address is P.O. Box 5213. That's 5213, High Point, North Carolina. Zip code 27262. And, of course, you can always write me at my email address, which is Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. Join us next time. And remember until then to fulfill the Word of God.